If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello there, and welcome to the Eurogamer newscast, coming at you after the Bethesda layoffs and studio closures this week announced by Microsoft. I'm joined, as always, by Eurogamer's news team. We've got Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. Today, in the wake of the news that Arkane Austin, Tango Gameworks, and others are due to shut, we are considering the question whether this means the Game Pass publishing model has failed. We are still looking at reactions from the games industry as we record this to the closures of Arkane Austin, who made Redfall, and Tango Gameworks, who made Hi-Fi Rush, two of Microsoft's big titles in terms of attention, released in 2023, and certainly with Hi-Fi Rush, one of the biggest critically acclaimed games of last year, both failed for their own reasons, seemingly to keep their studios alive, despite being launched into Game Pass and despite being part of this big plan by Microsoft to provide subscribers with games, and here we are. It's a very depressing time. I don't think there's any sort of anything we can really sort of say about it that's not that this really sucks. I think you guys would agree.
Yep, absolutely.
So I guess the question really next is, what is next? And we were talking earlier and I saw a tweet, I can't remember who it was from, but it was from someone saying, if you are at Ninja Theory right now in Cambridge and you're sat there polishing Hades 2,
Hellblade 2.
That's a whole other drama this week.
Different story.
If you're sat working on the next Xbox Game Pass game, and it is basically an Xbox Game Pass game, it's not getting a physical launch. Hellblade 2 is very much going to be a game for people who are subscribed to Game Pass, I think. How does this week's news make you feel?
I mean, I'd be feeling incredibly anxious if I was there right now. Like, given that, and I think, like, with no disrespect to Arkane for their Redfall release, but of the two, or of the three, I should say, yesterday, because I know there was the Doom developer as well that was affected, you know, seeing such a critically acclaimed game that has done really well for Xbox, possibly, I think, the best Xbox game they had last year, seeing that studio close, then as Ninja Theory, I'd be incredibly anxious about my position within Microsoft right now.
It feels like unless you are making Call of Duty, Fallout, or Elder Scrolls, you're doomed.
Yep. Yeah, I really feel like that way. And I saw someone mention about how Microsoft right now feels like the Embracer of America. And I was like, it kind of does. Like, there was a tweet yesterday, Microsoft has shut down more studios than it has released games this year. Mm. Which is when you... And I remember even just, you know, it was a few months ago after Microsoft had done their big showcase and we had our first look at Indiana Jones and we saw Avowed. And I said, I actually feel really comfortable about, you know, we've had a few years where, you know, putting into really kind of basic annoying terms, PlayStation had kind of won in the terms of like games it was releasing. And I remember saying just in January, February, like, I'm feeling really confident about Xbox games this year. Like, I'm actually really excited to see what the studios are doing this year. And just suddenly I feel like that's all been, like, it's all just come crashing down. I have very little confidence now in Microsoft.
Same. I feel like they're sort of, they're wanting their sort of iconic game brand in the equivalent of Sony having God of War, Horizon, The Last of Us. They're looking for their sort of equivalent, which I feel like is basically Fallout and Elder Scrolls at this point. And I guess Call of Duty, all of which they've just bought. And there's just no room for any other creativity. And I guess to go back to Tom's point on Game Pass, I think we all expected that sort of smaller, or Game Pass to allow for those smaller, more creative games to really thrive.
Mm.
And it seems that even if they do well on that, that's still not enough to keep those studios alive.
Yeah.
You know, Hi-Fi Rush is that smaller creative game that maybe people wouldn't want to risk spending a lot of money on an individual game, especially if games are, you know, £60-70 now. I'm not sure how much Hi-Fi Rush was when it released, but I presume it was slightly cheaper. But it's the kind of game that, as part of Game Pass, you're like, oh, do you know what? I'll give that a go. Yeah. And actually, it's really fun. And I think Hellblade is a similar level where it's maybe less of a fun game because it looks quite depressing, if it's anything like the first one, and grim. But it's the kind of game that is only going to be a few hours long, but gives you a really, really great experience within that time. But that's still a lot of money to spend on a game for not so much time. Therefore, that works really well as part of a subscription. But yeah, after this news, I don't know if that is what lasts on Game Pass. And I feel like, does Game Pass to survive, it's nice to have those smaller experiences, but does it still need the big exclusive games to pull people in as a draw? You know, you come for Starfield and you stay for Hi-Fi Rush. The problem is that Starfield wasn't great, and they haven't really had many other big games of that caliber to bring people into Game Pass in the first place. So then they're relying on the smaller games a bit that just mm-hmm. aren't as much of a draw, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people were tweeting the Aaron Greenberg message from last year, yesterday, weren't they? He said, Hi-Fi Rush was a breakout hit for us and our players in all key measurements and expectations. We couldn't be happier with what the team at Tango Gameworks delivered with this surprise release.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a game which critically did well. It's had a lot of enthusiasm behind it. It was from a studio with huge pedigree, and it still wasn't enough to save Tango from being shut down. And both games, Hi-Fi Rush and Redfall, should have benefited from the Game Pass publishing model. Hi-Fi Rush because it was a new IP, it came out of nowhere, but then suddenly it was available to everybody who had the Game Pass subscription. You could just go play it and there was no friction there. You didn't need to buy it. Perfect way to launch that game, seemingly. Redfall, even though it was a bit mid, a lot of mid games do well. Like, yeah. There are plenty of mid games in the Steam top 100, and putting a game, even though there were issues with it being a live servicey online co-op game and the studio behind it not being like known for that kind of thing, you could see how the arguments were made for that game to come into being, especially 3 years before it came out, when these sort of things were probably being drawn up in a lot of game development studio meeting rooms around the world. That still could have been a success, and maybe should have been a success, because it launched into Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So even though it wasn't the most polished and, you know, the like highest scoring game in the world, it was in so many people's hands to go play cooperatively and just have a bit of fun with, and it still don't work. So you've got these two very different games, but both failed on Game Pass, or both failed despite being on Game Pass for different reasons. And it just makes me think, like, if you're Microsoft right now, where does that leave you looking at Game Pass as sort of your path to success on the platform? And is it still a path to success on the platform when you're now looking at PlayStation launches as well?
I feel like there's less room for failure when you're a company like Microsoft or even PlayStation. In that, yes, there are plenty of mid games that do quite well. You know, sometimes a 7 out of 10 game can be really good. But I feel like that tends, the ones that do well there tend to be ones that are from indie developers or smaller developers. And when you're someone like Microsoft and you've bought someone like Bethesda, there's a huge expectation on there to be like, this game's going to be amazing. And so even then releasing something that is a bit mid, like Redfall, feels like more of a disappointment to people. Mm. And so I feel like it's a case of extremes when you're a company like Microsoft, that something has to be incredible. Otherwise, it just doesn't stick. At the same time, I guess Starfield, in a lot of people's eyes, was quite mid. And I don't think it's done as well as maybe they hoped, but it's probably still done better than Redfall. And they're still releasing the expansion for it and sort of committed to that. Maybe they were more committed to that from the off as a big exclusive than Redfall. Maybe that was in a better state or something. I don't know.
I don't think it needs to be a zero-sum game. I'm just going to preface what I'm about to say with this. Like, both things could have been saved.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you could continue making Starfield and make the expansion, and you could also not drop Redfall and continue working on that. But I understand why Starfield is still getting an expansion and is still probably down the line getting a PlayStation release and is still going to get loads of updates and things to try and turn that game around, because the marketing spend on that game was huge. The fact that it's a Todd Howard game adds a lot of caliber to it. It almost is too big to fail, and therefore Microsoft needs to still support it. And I doubt there was much question of whether that was a game that could be dropped. Although the pressure to get a new Fallout out is apparently real. Redfall, when you look at the numbers on Steam, and unfortunately for Arkane Austin, them just not having Todd Howard at the helm, and by that very nature, not having, you know, Mr. Bethesda there, like Starfield is very much Todd Howard's project. He's talked about it extensively.
Mm-hmm.
You can see why Microsoft deciding that they had to like cut some stuff chose Redfall instead. But
I still find it strange though that they have cut it now, because you know, we saw reports about this. You know they spoke to you last year talking about adding in the offline mode and things, and that was coming, and we saw reports of that coming, you know, seemingly quite imminently for, you know, and that I think offline mode for Redfall would have actually been, it's a real shame that that wasn't an option sooner, I think, for that game.
I'm really surprised, and PlayStation would have brought in some players and surely would not have cost too much to port, but maybe they did the sums and they said, look, this game has zero hype. We're going to get maybe 20,000 players day one, and then it's going to trail off again. Is that worth us spending like six figures on a PlayStation port? Probably not.
I mean, they did spend that. Well, I don't know what they spent on Hi-Fi Rush, but you know, Hi-Fi Rush just came to PlayStation and it went down really well from what I've seen from reviews. I don't know anything about player numbers, but from every review or discussion I've seen about Hi-Fi Rush on PlayStation, it's been a really good experience.
Yeah, I do wonder if, like, why now? Because reportedly there was the May update planned. They were working on single player, which they confirmed to Eurogamer. Is it because they looked at the numbers for the PlayStation ports that have come out? Like, are we seeing this decision made now, having had that data from Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, and Grounded come out? They're sort of, right, now we've got this data for the first wave of PlayStation games. How much is this helping us? It could be that it's helped it a lot. And then at that point, they're like, well, like, let's just launch things on PlayStation and big bets. We're all about big bets. Like, we want big bets. They're going to launch on PlayStation. Or was it? Was it that Sea of Thieves has done well, and that's like a much bigger, more high profile game, but something like Hi-Fi Rush didn't, and therefore there's no need to port Hi-Fi Rush now to Switch 2. There was a PEGI rating or an ESRB rating for Hi-Fi on Switch.
Yep.
I mean, all kind of indications was that it would come to Switch at some point. I mean, they found, was it the t-shirts in the game? There was that rating. It did seem to be bound for Switch. I assume it's not anymore.
Well, the thing that Matt Booty said in his email, which Bethesda the past Eurogamer later on, was that Hi-Fi Rush will continue to be available on the platforms on which it is currently available.
Mm.
which could be him saying, well, we're not going to take it off sale, but it also sort of suggests the platforms which it's currently on sale on won't be added to with subsequent platforms. But
I mean,
who
I
knows?
They won't take it out of Game Pass.
No, they definitely won't take it out of Game Pass.
Joe, I did see actually a few messages and things last night about people who are now, they're just wanting to leave Game Pass because they have lost that trust in Microsoft after yesterday's news. They said, what is the point if we're, you know, if you're not going to support the studios that make the games we want on Game Pass, why are we supporting Game Pass?
Mm. It does sort of chime as well with Toys for Bob, right?
Yeah, going independent. I mean, again, I'm not part of those studios, but when I saw the news yesterday, I was just thinking, I bet Toys for Bob are delighted that they sort of got out when they did and are now, I know that there's been reports that they're working on the fourth Spyro game, and that is going to be in partnership with Microsoft, but it's still very much a Toys for Bob game that they are in control of from the reports that we have seen.
Yeah, they can't get shut down by Microsoft and then put on Call of Duty again.
They just must be thinking, thank goodness that we did that when we did.
So Microsoft has its showcase that they've announced already. Mm-hmm. And then there's the mystery game, which is Call of Duty.
Call of Duty Black Ops. What
do we expect to see there? And how is that going to impact Game Pass? Because I guess we're going to see Avowed. We're going to see Indiana Jones. We're going to see whatever else they have coming up.
Quick look at Fable, announcement of the new Gears, probably. Starfield expansion.
I'll tell you what, though,
and
if they get up and
thank...
will
all be going into Game Pass, like, day one, but is Avowed big enough to sort of boost Game Pass? Or is Indiana Jones big enough to boost Game Pass? Or are we going to see something of Call of Duty on Game Pass to try and boost the numbers that way? Which will really please the PlayStation fans.
Do they announce Call of Duty will launch on Game Pass next month? Yeah, that seems like something that could generate a lot of positive hype.
I think they almost have to now, because a lot of this, I remember when we did a newscast relatively recently, but it was on last year's layoffs, and we were discussing about how these layoffs were happening, and it was almost in reaction to the fact that we had this big uptick during the pandemic and we were now seeing a decline. And I'm not making an excuse to say that that makes it fine, but what makes me more angry about Microsoft now is the fact that this all seems to be coming off the bat that they spent big on their Activision Blizzard King deal and are now having to cut costs on studios. And that just really angers me, because this is very much a leadership thing that I feel they should have had a handle on before making these acquisitions. You know, this is not a reaction to the market overall declining. This is very much a Microsoft-specific case that they have put themselves in.
When you look at the financials that they announced recently, and yes, Xbox is in profit, but it's all because of Activision, and the rest of Xbox was sort of flat. They have to then, you know, do you cut the thing that's making loads of money and the big franchise that you've just spent $70 billion on, Call of Duty? No, you look at what hasn't made money recently within the studios that you previously had. And unfortunately, I would assume that Redfall lost a load of money for them. And did Hi-Fi Rush break even? Maybe, but did it drive Game Pass sales, which is the other thing that it was going to, you know, hopefully do, subscriptions rather than sales? I don't know. It's hard to say. You
but
know,
I think
as much as Greenberg says it.
When
I
they
feel
do,
like that's
do
probably
they...
the key metric. Like, it's because they want to push Game Pass. So it's like, okay, you can have a good game, it can win BAFTAs, it can be a critical darling, but if it's not pushing Game Pass, then that's not the metric that they want. So that ultimately is the crux.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also need people to make Fallout.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think whenever they do their showcase in the summer, they are going to have to go big on Call of Duty to kind of warrant that acquisition, I think. And if they get up on stage and thank the hardworking studios, etc., and how they want to support them, I will be, oh, that will make me very uncomfortable. I really hope that they do acknowledge the studios whenever they do whatever presentations they do, that they have let go. Like, I don't
think they will. I think they'll just want to move forwards.
I just think
another reason
they don't.
Another reason they're doing it now is to give 4 weeks gap between now and Summer Game Fest, so it starts to fade in the memory. But I really, looking at the discourse out there right now, it really feels like people have been extremely upset, and I think Microsoft's reputation may forever be tarnished by the closure of these studios.
Yeah.
With that said, is there a sense of sort of the bubble bursting a little bit here? It feels like there's a lot of anti-Microsoft sentiment from people in the industry. And I feel like, you know, the last couple of years we've spent a lot of time talking about acquisitions and whether we agree with Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard, because it went on for so long and some people were okay with it, some people weren't. There was lots of talk about how does Sony reply to this? Do they buy Square Enix or FromSoft or whatever? And just all this talk of acquisition and building up and building up. Is there maybe an argument now that, you know, having seen the impacts of this sort of acquisition, that a lot of studios are going to be like, well, actually, no, we don't want to be part of a big company like this. Do we get a bit of a sort of swing the other way now?
I suppose it depends on if they can secure funding elsewhere, because I'm sure for a lot of people, acquisition is, you know, what they need to be able to release a game in whatever, you know, plan that they had at that time. I can imagine more companies being very wary of being acquired, given studio closures, etc., that we have seen. But at the same time, if you're a small studio and you need the funding, maybe that is your only option.
I think that Phil Spencer and Xbox Game Pass still have a lot of goodwill, but have a lot less today than they did on Monday this week. And for me, the closure of Tango is up there with the closure of Lionhead among Microsoft's sort of biggest and most distressing closures, and Arcane as well. And that lives long in the memory. It lives long in people's memory, people who played games' memory, people who make games' memory, people who want to work with Xbox's memory. And it's going to be really interesting to see the fallout, no pun intended, of exactly what happens next. And I think that's where we'll leave it for now. But thank you both. And thank you for watching or listening if you made it this far. Ed, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at @ed_knights.
Thank you. And Victoria, how about you?
I am at Little Chop Shop Gal.
Awesome. I am at Tom Phillips CG. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.